This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is opening day down in Miami, FLA, as the Pirates take on the Marlins. A good pitching matchup. Sandy Alcantara against Paul Skeens. And Alcantara is a guy who won a Cy Young a few years ago, then had some injury problems, missed all of last year, but he looks like he's got everything back. So that'll be, you would imagine, a quick, low-scoring game. To that end, Bob Pompiani here with Jim Colony, as Joe is probably on a golf course by now, so... This lineup.
So when did he fly down? Like
this
yesterday?
Morning. No, this morning early. Yeah, one of those early flights.
Hope he got his golf clubs.
You never know.
No, I went down last year, and I think I told you that story. My golf clubs never made it onto the plane.
Well, that's always a risk.
So I had to I used to borrow some clubs from my friend Greg Jacobs, and then I now have his old driver because I liked his driver better than mine.
That's the danger.
I know.
All right, so here it is. It's Tommy Pham leading off, and I imagine he's going to platoon with Jack Sawinski throughout the course of this year. Then it's Brian Reynolds, O'Neill Cruz bats third, Joey Bart will hit fourth, Andrew McCutchen is the fifth hitter and the designated hitter, Nick Gonzalez, followed by Andy Rodriguez, who plays first base for the first time, I think, is that right, and as a major leaguer?
I thought, and I he didn't he get like two games in the Grapefruit League?
Yeah, but I'm talking about in actual.
Oh, I know, right,
yeah,
I know.
So that's it.
No, no
Brian
like
Hayes is batting eighth, which is really interesting, and then Isaiah Kiner-Falefa is ninth. So what do you think about that lineup? Because I can't find a lot of spots where there's going to be a lot of power, of course, and I think that's one of the things in this day and age you really need more of.
Well, if let's say that Ke'Bryan Hayes was just himself, right? His healthy, relative healthy, okay self, right? And if you've got a lineup with that guy batting eighth, now we're talking. Now you're talking about like a real deep major
words,
league lineup.
Yeah, but that's not the reason he's batting eighth.
I know. That's the sad thing. That's like the bad news. You know, I think, well, I don't have to go into the locker room. So what I think Tommy Pham is a colossal waste of money. And if you had taken what they had paid him and Adam Frazier and Andrew Heaney, that you could have gone out and actually gotten a legitimate major league hitter to put in your lineup. We talked about this earlier. And I don't know if Matt Haig is going to make any difference or not, but if improvement is going to have to come from within, which with these people, it's going to have to, that if you can get Sawinski back to what he was, oh, you can live with that, right?
Sure.
A guy that can play the outfield at a better than average ability, and a guy that can hit between 20 and 30 home runs. Okay, now we're talking about a legitimate corner outfielder. But at any rate, I don't know. I just. We'll see what happens. What, the last time Skeens pitched in spring training, didn't he didn't he, I guess he allowed one run, but his teammates got no hit. So there's always that it's always that possibility that if he gives up one run, it's going to be one too many.
Well, here's the thing. Last year, he took no hitters into like three different games late in the games. And, you know, he's always going to, that's the one thing about him. If he's on the mound, you can bet you're going to be in the games. And I would say that about Keller, too, and Jones. Now that, you know, he's out, that doesn't apply. You know, they're going to be challenged, I think, with Majinski and Bailey Falter and Heaney. But ultimately, again, where does the power come from? I hope Hayes has what he is capable of because he hasn't had it so far. But you're not going to get it necessarily for anybody in this lineup, with the exception of Cruz and Reynolds, I would think. Bart, maybe. But other than that, where does it come from?
Yeah, I heard you guys with Austin, you had the over-under on infield home runs at, what, 32?
32 and a half, yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, okay, all you need to do is you need to get like 8 home runs from every guy. But I'm thinking under. But you know, Hayes is a key to that thing, obviously. And then it would have been over if Cruz was still a shortstop, but he's not a shortstop, rightfully. So he goes to the outfield, which is fine. But that's what you, how many like 20 home run guys should a real major league lineup have? 6?
Yeah.
5 at least?
I mean, in this day and age, yes.
And they'll be lucky to have 4. I'm sorry, they'll be lucky to have more than 2. Because you're going to have, maybe Bart will hit over 20 home runs, but you've got Reynolds, who's a proven, you know, Reynolds is an all-star, and then Cruz should be an all-star at some point. But other than that, you know, I have no idea.
And their bench is not very good either. That's the other thing. You got to come up with guys on the bench who can hit, and they don't have much of that. So to your point earlier, this is where you would like to develop guys in your system who could be up here and hit the baseball. And they haven't really done that. Pitchers, some of them, yes, but hitters, hardly any. And if you're going to draft guys and bring guys in, that you got to get some response from your farm system.
And you know, the Jared Jones injury obviously hurts. So he's not going to pick up a baseball for 6 weeks. So that takes you into the middle of May. And then when's he going to be able to actually pitch? All-Star break? It's just, you know, I don't know how quickly you ramp it up after not picking up a baseball for a month and a half. But, you know, then you hear about the guys they have in the minors, like Bubba Chandler, who's supposed to be, you know, he's going to be the first call-up. Thomas Harrington, will he be another one? I don't know. I do remember last year, but now I'm talking about pitching instead of hitting. I just don't know. Can you imagine if they had, because there was a legitimate debate, right, when they had the first overall draft pick, do you pick Paul Skeens or do you pick Dylan Cruz,
right,
his LSU teammate? Can you imagine if they had picked a hitter? Where do you suppose he'd be right now? And there's no
well,
way.
I know Wyatt Langford. I think was he in the same draft or was that a year before there? He was another guy who was supposed to be, and he's doing pretty well with his team.
Well, whatever they had done, if they had drafted a hitter, it's like Steelers with quarterbacks. I have absolutely no confidence that they'd be able to develop that player. So you know, I do like what they've done with Oscar Marin since they've been here. Remember before where they tried to buttonhole Garrett Cole into a, you know, 3-pitch ground ball guy.
Hit the ground ball, sinker, get it in.
Yeah,
play,
it's like, you know, 3 pitches or less. Remember we used to say, I love Ray Sarich, but I got sick of hearing 3 pitches or less. And then once, you know, you've got guys now that they look at what they have. Tyler Glasnow. If Tyler Glasnow had this pitching management when he first came up, things might have been different. You know, maybe with hitters, maybe it can be kind of like that where they say, okay, here's what we're working with and let's see how we can refine that. Because there are all sorts of different hitting styles. Nowadays, is everybody buttonholed hitting the same way? Remember when we were kids? You know, this is old guy talking, where you would play wiffle ball in the backyard and you'd be the Pirates. Okay, so you'd have to bat like Clemente. You'd have to bat like Stargell. You'd have to adopt the exact stance of that player. Nowadays, they're probably all the same. They're taught the same thing with but back then all these guys, like if I was a Red Sox guy, Carl Yastrzemski had his elbow way up. I couldn't hit a wiffle ball like that, but you had to do it because you were the Red Sox.
Right.
And the same thing with the Pirates, you'd be different players when everybody had a different style. But as long as the bat met the ball in a certain way, you know, at the right time, that's all you needed. You didn't need to have a certain stance. You didn't need to have a certain whatever. They're not doing that with their pitchers now, which is encouraging, where they're taking, okay, this is what this guy can do, so let's work with it. You know, hitting, I wish they could do the same thing, but I don't know where it's there. And there's nobody, what's that, Matt Gorski hit a couple home runs early in spring training.
Yeah, but they immediately put him down.
Of course, a couple years ago, he was their minor league hitter of the year. And then what happens to these guys?
Well, they don't get a chance either. Why not get – this is a wide-open first base. Why can't Matt Gorski get his chance?
I don't know.
I would do it. What do they have to lose? All right, let's see what Mike at Brookline has to say. He joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
What's up?
I'd like to – I mean, this is going to sound idiotic, but I would like to see them trade Skeens now for his sake. My fear is that they're just – they're not going to have a team to support them. And my bigger fear is that he's going to try to make up for that and throw the ball a little bit harder, you know, a little bit nastier of a curve and ruin his arm. And I just would like to see him be able to succeed somewhere with a real team.
Well, that's not going to happen anytime soon,
nor
should it.
I know that.
But the thing about him is I think he just does his thing. And I don't know if he's going to be totally worried. He may get frustrated along the line a little bit, but he strikes me as somebody as – you see my stuff, judge me on what you see. I can't control things I can't control. He will be judged. I was talking to Jim about this earlier. We were talking about Cy Young Awards, and he's the youngest guy to be a favorite. He can actually have fewer wins than a lot of people, but as long as the other metrics are good. Steve Carlton, Jim brought up, was a good example of, you know, he had 27 wins once for the Phillies. They only had 59 as a team.
Right.
And he accounted for all of them. So I think people will look beyond the wins and losses, and if it gets frustrating, he'll deal with it. He's pretty mature, and I don't think he'll have a problem with anything.
Well, I hope you're right, because I'd like to see him here, but I'm just not sure how they're going to
eventually.
Well, yeah, you're going to have him for maybe four more seasons. What do you think,
this
Bob,
is why the window's open, and go for it when you have a chance.
Exactly.
You have a generational player. You have to surround him with
exactly.
So. But we know they're not going to do that. But I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right, Mike. Thank you. Well,
maybe they'll get lucky, and maybe you know they'll trade their whatever assets they will decide to trade. You know, at the deadline, maybe they'll be in a position. But that didn't. You know, that again, years before they got good, that didn't work either. They brought in Derek Lee, and who was the other guy? Morneau. I thought, oh, this is going to be pretty good. And then Derek Lee tries to block a pitch with his hand and breaks it, which was the stupidest thing you've ever seen a major league guy do. So they were well-intentioned then when they did it. And Ben Cherington is like Neil Huntington part two. So you would think he would do this. They both went to Amherst and they grew up in New Hampshire. So, you know, you would think that they would make a move, and maybe it'll pay off. Maybe it will. You know, they tried it with Chris Archer. Obviously, that was a disaster.
But that shouldn't be the reason you don't make another trade.
No, exactly. You know, you're right about that.
Some of those, you're going to hit them, but the idea was correct. It just they missed.
But then, you know, Bob, they would do something like this. If you've got a guy who's going to be a free agent, who's going to, like Vlad Guerrero, okay, let's say that, okay, the Blue Jays are going to be hopelessly out of it. He doesn't have a new contract. We get to the trade deadline. He's got like 35 home runs.
Bring him
in. Bring him. But they won't do that.
I know, but they should.
They'll say, I know.
If they're close,
They'll say that, oh, we can't do that because we're not going to have him beyond this year. We need to think long term.
I understand that. But at some point, you have to make a move that helps your current team, especially if your current team shows you that they are competitive and have a chance. Let's go out to Ernesto in McMurray. And Ernesto, sounds like you could be a pitcher.
Oh, good. Okay.
So Crowley was talking this morning about how all the planets need to align perfectly for them to make a run for the division. And it seems like this first baseman, the gentleman that was speaking with him said we're 6 weeks to figure out first base, and they still don't know their platooning. And the last 10 years, from moving Pedro to third, I think they traded for Derek Lee to be a first baseman. They've never given a first baseman a major league contract. Now, if you just do that one move, just a solid first baseman, maybe you pay a little bit more because they don't want to come to Pittsburgh, and you have a somewhat of a competitive team. I've heard Bob say many times on the air, just put one bat around Skeens, and we'll see what we can do from there.
Yeah, well, why wouldn't you?
Well, right now they've got two.
But I mean, I would.
You know, you can.
In
count
addition
on.
To what you have, you need another
yes.
one or two. So you go out, and instead of giving these 1 year, $4 million, $3 million, $2 million deals, you go out and give one guy $25 million for the year, and you say play. And wherever, why can't you do that? You know, you could do that.
Of course, you could.
And if he's productive, you can trade him at the deadline if you stink. And I don't know. They just need to throw us a bone as the public. I haven't really watched, but I was faithful. I followed the stats. I did everything. When they moved Pedro from third to first, I quit life on this team. And it's a shame because I live and died for them more than any other team in this town.
Well, he couldn't throw the ball. I mean, the people – was that before they had the netting up there? The people behind first base would have been in danger. Pedro and everything.
He definitely had issues there.
And then I've told this story a million times. Neil Walker told me that when Josh Bell got drafted and he showed up in Bradenton to work out with Neil and with Andrew McCutchen, Neil came back. He goes, this guy is a stud. He goes, they should make him a first baseman right now. They didn't.
And they didn't.
They didn't. And then by the time they did, he couldn't even figure out how to throw the ball, how to short arm it around the infield.
All right. One more call before we go to break. Who is it, Austin?
This is Skip in Mount Lebanon. It is not Joe Starkey.
Oh, good.
It better not be.
Hey, guys. I love the old school hosts here. You guys are
Can't get much older than I am, unless we had Smyzik on the phone. But
yeah, there you go. Here's a question that I've never heard addressed. Back in 95, right after the MLB lost the World Series, I think most people forget that their government intervened and made a back-to-work mandate that derailed any chance baseball had to get a real equitable system, and it's been getting worse ever since. You know, all the nutting vitriol and all that, and not really, okay, he is cheap, but I don't care who you get in here with a revenue disparity, you're not going to be able to keep a Paul Skenes or a great
sure
player.
Sure you could. You have to be willing to do it. You have to be willing to go into the red sometime to make your team better. And if you do it the right way, you can still reap the benefits at the other end.
I disagree because the only team that right now is in the red is the Mets because the owner's kind of off the rails. But these guys are not going to write checks out of their personal fortunes to pay salary. Nobody does that. The revenue disparity is so huge, and it gets wider every year.
The Pirates, in my belief, are still making money, Skip. They're making money. And if I asked you, their payroll right now is, I think, $84.5 million, something in that range. All I'm asking, if you took it up by $40 more million, that takes you to $120. Where does that land you? And does that affect your profitability for this year? Maybe it does a little bit, but it's certainly in the best interest of the baseball team and the city. You can absolutely do that.
But when you come to scheme, I mean, I'm looking at the best comp I can come up with here just real quick, and MLB.com is Yamamoto with the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. 12 years, $325 million. The Pirates aren't going to do that, and really, I think, nor should they.
I'm not endorsing 12-year deals. What I'm saying is you can give – I'm talking about an average annual value, whatever that comes out to be. They can afford that if they wanted to. No one's stopping them.
Well, the other thing is the Dodgers don't win every. I mean, they're going to win.
They're going to win a division every year. They always are, and they're going to win another World Championship.
You would think, but something often happens to those teams. How come the Yankees haven't won all the time? The Red Sox haven't won all the time? The Cubs
every year and have a chance to win. All I'm saying is, if they have a chance to get a generational player, why wouldn't you want to keep them around? Do everything you can to do it, and there's ways to do it. Bob Nutting has a lot of money that he could allocate to doing that somehow, some way. I that's why I want to see what the books actually say. No one really knows what the books actually say. We're all just guessing or using people's information that may not know accurately. I don't know. Don't you think that they could raise their look at these other teams?
Oh no, Bob, there's no question.
$120 million.
Of course they could. Of course they could. And I'm looking at some of these others' contracts.
Now you wouldn't have to do this, Jim, if they develop guys better. Because even these teams that have the biggest payroll,
that's the Tampa Bay,
they do that. They still develop players. Why do the Yankees make trades every year where they give up really high-end prospects? Why do the Dodgers do it? Yeah, because they have them to trade. They've developed them. The Pirates, if you don't develop, then you have to spend. If you don't spend, you're getting nothing.
And they draft them at the ends of rounds. Pirates are drafting in the first, in the top 10 every
year. Right, that's what I'm saying. You should have a plethora of people that you could either use or trade to help your current team.
But the only reason I'm bringing up the Skenes thing is because at some point the Pirates cannot afford to pay that much money. They can, but if they'd be the exact opposite of what they are right now, if they gave Skenes, let's say, a contract that he deserves, let's say they said, okay, we're going to sign you for 12 years, $400 million. Let's just say they did that. Then they wouldn't have any money left to pay anybody else. It's the exact opposite of what they're doing right now, which is where you've got Skenes at a bargain basement. I don't know if any player, if he projects the way he did last year into the next 3 years, what player is going to give you more bang for your buck than what he's giving you? And that's when they should have, we're arguing kind of with each other against each other. It's just that they need to invest more money when they have the ability, when they have the guys that they can, the pitching that's more expensive. I don't care anymore, Bob, but I care.
No, I care. The thing is, the development of prospects is number one with all franchises. It doesn't matter how much you make or how much you spend. If you develop, draft develop, you'll have assets that you can either use on cheap contracts now or trade to get other.
Tommy Pham leadoff homer today. I can just feel it.
Uh-oh. I don't know if that's in the,
I can feel it.
I don't know if that's in the cards.
Jim, I can feel
appreciate
it.
Your time today. I know you have a golf tee time here.
I know.
So
I don't want to be late.
You don't want to be late for that. You got to continue the retirement life, which is good, and I'm glad to see you. So thanks for stopping
in. It was fun. Is Joe back on Monday?
He is back, I believe.
Oh, that's
unless
good.
He maybe plays really well, and he may just decide to stay. And if that's the case, I'll call you.
Nice. Okay. I'm available. Right. I'm available Monday, but I got to work this weekend.
Hey, the fan and the Pittsburgh Pirates want to visit your teams in action for our youth baseball and softball showcase presented by Sheetz. Parents and coaches, send an email. All you have to do to youthsports@937thefan.com to register your 12 and under team. And 93.7 The Fan may make a stop to your field. Details at 937thefan.com, brought to you by Keystone Custom Apparel. And the apparel today will be the Pirates in the visiting uniforms down in Miami against a team that has the smallest payroll in all of baseball. So, Austin Bechtel, let's talk about this lineup real quick before we get back to the phone lines at 412-928-9370. If you're optimistic, what would you say about it? Let's say guys have good years. Is it good enough with what you see today with Pham, Reynolds, Cruz, Bart, McCutchen, Gonzalez, Rodriguez at first, Hayes batting eighth, and IKF?
Well, here's the thing, Bob. Like, my thing about this, when I look at the lineup today, I ultimately think that this is the best lineup that they could have put out there, you know, all things considered. Like, Andy Rodriguez, I think, will be one of their best hitters. It's
really?
Going to come down.
If he's one of their best hitters.
I like him a lot.
I do, too, but not as one of their best hitters. I still think Cruz has got to be the guy to carry him.
Well, I'm not saying he's going to be better than Cruz. He's going to be better than Reynolds. But I could see him ultimately as, like, their fourth guy. When you're talking about, like, out of nine guys in the lineup, I think he would probably be four, right behind Cruz, Reynolds, and Bart. Maybe even three, maybe even better than Bart. I think Rodriguez, as a switch hitter, good speed, gap-to-gap power. I mean, obviously, it has to translate to the majors. But I'm more concerned about, like, the Connor Falefas of the world, the Key Brian Hayes of the world, the Tommy Pham's of the world. Like, if they get okay production from those guys, because I think our expectations right now are so low for them.
Yeah.
They get decent production. They get the Tommy Pham of 2 years ago. Again, a lot of ifs and buts and candy and nuts, but if they get anything close to what Pham was a couple of years ago with the Diamondbacks going to the World Series.
Yeah, he was big for them.
Yeah, he was.
But he is 37, and there are some concerns there. But listen, right-hand punch, if he and Sawinski can combine to hit 45 home runs as a platoon, that would be a lot. I'd like that.
That's the thing, though. Like, it's going to come down to...
What is Tommy Pham's biggest total of home runs? If you're going to look that up, because I don't remember him being much of that sort of a power hitter.
No. And, I mean, he only has 139 total in his career, and the highest number that he hit was 23 back in 2017 with St. Louis.
Right. So if he hits 20 and Sawinski can somehow figure out 25, that's 45 combined, I would take it.
He had 9 last year. He hit 16 in 2013, 17, 15, and 21 the previous season. So he does have some pop.
Yeah. All right. We'll see how it goes today. But they don't need much pop today. Just get a couple of runs, scratch it out, and I got to believe that Paul Skeens is going to have a good game today against the Miami lineup, and that game will be heard later today right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Let's go back to the lines. Austin, who's next?
Here is Brandon in Raleigh, wants to talk some quarterbacks.
Hello, friends.
What's up, Brandon?
I give you that greeting in honor of our friend Jim Nantz giving us an 11-year notice on leaving the Masters.
Yeah, I've talked to Jim over the years. I knew that was his game plan, and it was just a matter of when he was going to do it. But big for him. He wants to be there for the 100th.
Yeah, absolutely, and he should be. He's great. But I just wanted to call just real quickly. So the reason I like Rodgers this year and this year only is because I think he's the one guy that can come in and Tomlin will let actually take control of the offense, change plays at the line of scrimmage, kind of call his own game, if you will. When Tomlin took over from Cowher, Ben Roethlisberger was already there, right? This organization has not proved that they can draft and develop a quarterback. There's people like Todd McShay talking about Jackson Dart and Jalen Milroe, and you know, if they get right with the right team, teams can fix them and they can develop into the right quarterback. I don't have faith that this organization with this head coach can draft a quarterback and develop him into a franchise quarterback. What are your thoughts?
Well, you have proof to back that up for sure, and that's going to be the challenge. So far, their quarterbacks since have gone 0-for-5 in terms of, you know, producing and developing. Now, I think what you're saying with Rodgers is going to be interesting. I think that had to be brought up in their six-hour meeting. You know, how much control do I have of this, and are you going to stand in the way or whatever? I'm a four-time MVP. If he is, he should be given leeway to do what he wants because he's been in that situation. So I think that could be a problem with Arthur Smith and Rodgers if Arthur Smith has a different idea. It's not like Aaron Rodgers is bringing in his own offensive coordinator, which he has done before. This is a different situation. So, but yeah, if you're going to draft somebody and they're going to have to do it at some point this year, next year, maybe both years. Thanks for the call, Brandon. I think you're going to see. The question is, how do they develop him? How quickly can they play? If you are next year, for example, I don't think it'll happen this year because I think the three guys we're talking about are going to be gone by the time Pirate or the Steelers are on the board. So, unless you trade up, and I don't have enough assets right now to do that, you'll probably take somebody mid-round. But next year will be the time to do it. And if they do, it has to be somebody who is going to quickly develop and become their guy. If not, they're going to be, you know, kind of searching every year for these answers. All right, let's go to another one. Austin, next up on the hotline is
Rob in Turtle Creek.
Or Crick. Do you like Creek or Crick,
I
Rob?
I call it Turtle Creek.
What do you call it, Rob? I call it both.
Turtle Creek.
Crick. I gotcha.
Hey, good afternoon, Bob. First off, I was hoping to get to talk to you, both you and Jim, because I think you two are the A team in Pittsburgh sports broadcasting. Talk radio.
Well, it's kind of you to say. Jim sets a big standard over the years. Joe does a great job. I think we have a lot of very talented people here in this city, too, so, and in the station specifically.
Well, you know what? I go back pretty far. I'm just a few years younger than you, I think. But, you know, I go back to the Stan Saverin, Myron Cope. I can't remember who else was part of that lineup in the evening, but it was fantastic.
Well, yeah, they had you know, John Steiger was part of that in Channel 4, if you're talking about that. And, you know, they've had, a lot of good – and Stan, man, I miss Stan a lot. Stan was always somebody that you can talk to about anything sports-related or life-related.
And he's like you. He let people have their say. He didn't cut them off. He didn't bloviate. He did bloviate sometimes. But that was Stan. If he disagreed with somebody and they were a real jerk, he let them know. But
what's on your mind today, Rob?
Yeah, I'm calling about the home opener in Pittsburgh. Okay, I'm going next Friday. And I'm just wondering if anybody has any idea what the pitching lineup's going to be coming into that. I was hoping they were going to arrange it, and it would have been smart on their part to somehow arrange it so that Skeens was a starter. But then I heard somebody else say, hey, you're going to get a large crowd on opening day no matter what. As a matter of fact, I could only get standing room tickets. And then they would start Skeens on Saturday, so they would get the giant.
Yeah, I don't know if Skeens is going to pitch at all. He may pitch Sunday in that series. If he does, he's going to be in the Tampa series as well. So it depends. They do have a day off on Thursday before they come home, so he could be, I don't think Friday. Friday looks like a Bailey Falter day. Is that what it looks like to you?
Yeah, it's looking like Falter for the home opener unless they move the schedule around a little bit, but how they've lined it up currently. And I think a big part of this is also Jared Jones' injury making a huge effect on what the rotation's going to look like. But, Bob, the way that it's kind of tracking out to look like right now, it's looking like the Yankee series is going to be, you ready for this? Falter, Heaney, Majinski.
Well, I hope that's not the case, but I know they have the Cardinals after that, and Skeens would open up that series then. So, you know, you never know how this goes, Rob. And if you're trying to buy tickets, it's going to be a sellout crowd anyway. So enjoy the day. It'll be a good day.
Hey, by the way, I don't know. I always think of you on a day like today because it is absolutely glorious out. And I got to tell you, I'm a 50-80 guy. What I mean by that is as long as it's between 50 and 80 and the skies are like this today, I'm good, brother.
Yeah, I'm a 40-90 guy. I'll go even further in those extremes. Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it. Enjoy your day if you're out there hitting them. All right, let's move along. Who do we got?
Let's go.
Austin, who's next?
Art. Art is in Connecticut, and he wants to talk about the Pirates lineup.
All right, Art. Go right ahead. What do you think?
Hi, guys. I couldn't disagree more with Austin on the lineup today.
Okay. Why's that, Art?
I think the issue is, why are Sawinski and Bay not in the lineup? Two left-handers against one of the toughest right-handed pitchers in baseball.
I would agree with that in Pham's case. I would have figured this lineup up, but and I don't know about Bay. Bay, I know he's had a pretty decent spring, and he does offer you leadoff potential. You could have put him there and then drop Sawinski down after McCutchen, I suppose. But that is interesting. Pham, I was surprised. Tommy Pham was the guy they brought in. They spent the money on. He's a veteran. He was going to get that probably designation regardless of who was on the mound, but I understand the logic behind that.
Let me ask you this, Art. Who do you think's a better hitter, Key Brian Hayes or Ji-Won Bae?
Right now, I think it's Ji-Won Bae.
Do you think Tommy Pham is a better hitter than Ji-Won Bae, or do you think Bae is a better hitter?
It's got to be the matchup, Austin. It's a right-handed pitcher on the mound. Bae can get on base from that side of the plate. He can make things happen. You know, I think Tommy Pham, I'm penciling him in for 3 Ks today.
Well, certainly Sandy Alcantara's got his game back together. He was out all of last year, but when he's on, he's very good. We'll see how that works out, but that's a legitimate argument.
One more thing, guys. I'm heading down there for games 2, 3, and 4. My son and I were going down to Miami to see him. So we'll miss Paul, but we'll miss Jarrett, but it should be fun.
Well, all right. Have a good time down there, Art. Appreciate it. It's a long trek from Connecticut.
Well, yeah, I hope you're flying down. Here's my thing. Like, why are we going out of our way to make arguments for Ji-Won Bae where he hit 189 last year?
Yeah, I'm not. I'm more interested in Sawinski for Pham only because it's a ready. And I think Tommy Pham likes Sawinski. They both can strike out a lot. They both have that tendency. So the matchup lefty-righty, which a lot of managers like to live on, could be the reason why he has a problem with this lineup, and I can understand that as far as Pham specific.
I don't even know why Bae made the roster, Bob. Like
I would not have had him on the roster.
No, I mean, even if it was like a Matt Gorski, or if you keep Henry Davis and you make him the backup catcher and you shift Endy around, like if you're going to play Endy at first base and you're going to use his versatility, why not play him in the outfield a little bit too where he has experience in the minors? Why not just let him be a guy who can frequently bounce around because I think he could be a good hitter for them, play some first, play some left, give Reynolds a day if he ends up like DHing and playing right for a game. He's athletic enough, and he's played some of those positions to be able to do it in the minor leagues, and then have Henry Davis still be able to be on the major league roster. I don't get that.
I'm still going to be interested to see how Brian Reynolds handles right field. He was in center for the longest time. They moved to left. I think he led the major league outfielders in assists. Now he's in right field. And when Derek Shelton comes back, I'd like to just get into his mind a little bit about that move. Anyway, let's take another call here. This time we're going out of state again, aren't we?
You're going to Corey in Columbus.
Hey, Corey.
Home of the Buckeyes.
Yes, and the Blue Jackets, who are getting close to a playoff berth potentially. What's up?
Hey, you guys. I was trying to think of a way the Pirates could actually get to a World Series with the rules that they are. You know, baseball won't do a salary cap. They don't care. Nutting, the last thing he thinks about is winning. So did anybody ever think about one of two ways? Split up the league. In the American League, you have the 15 highest paid teams are the 15 biggest markets, right? And then the National League, you put in the 15 lowest markets or 15 lowest paid payrolls. And that way, you know, any team could win. You know, that team that would win the small market to go to the World Series, they can beat any big market in a 7-game series. You know what I mean? Because they're going to be a pretty good team. But I don't know if they ever would think about doing something like that, because that's the only way the Pirates can compete if they're against all these other small market teams.
I don't foresee that happening, Corey, but I understand the thought, because I think in college football we're going to be seeing more of that, where teams deciding to move out of Division I and move into a different. You may have Power Four conferences and then another one devoted to teams that aren't. But I don't see that happening anytime soon. What I would tell you is the biggest thing going on right now with the Pirates is that they have to develop players more. They have to have many more options from their minor league system, and they haven't been able to do it despite picking in the top 10 of the draft. How many years have we seen that? Whether it's 1-1, whether it's, you know, top 5, 10. They've had a lot of guys over the years, and they haven't gotten the kind of results they need.
And don't forget about the first-round picks that didn't work in, like, the middle rounds, the Cole Tuckers, the Will Craigs, and the Kevin Newmans of the world where they didn't hit.
And those are all first-round picks, right.